If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
You like synthy dance pop?
I do.
Oh, you're a synth dance pop, aren't you? You were in the 80s dance halls, weren't you, Barry Corder?
Yes, I was.
Welcome to the What Podcast, a podcast for Bonnarooians by Bonnarooians. Barry Corder from the Chattanooga Times Free Press. I'm Brad Steiner from WDOD Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Chattanooga, Tennessee, home of Walk the Moon, his latest tour stop. They stopped through Chattanooga, and before they did, they decided to talk to us because it turns out they're also playing the little Bonnaroo Festival for us.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, I don't think that I can. Maybe I can. Maybe maybe I can probably find a similar band like Fun. But they seem to be a very interesting pick for a Bonnaroo lineup. It doesn't necessarily fit.
Well, I don't know.
You don't think
I was just listening, thinking that's going to be one of those crowd, throw your hands in the air kind
of. One of these guys that you know all the songs, but you don't know who the band is.
Exactly.
No, I say that in jest, just joking around, but these guys have a massive following.
Yeah, they're big. A Cincinnati-based band. Nicholas was nice enough to talk to us for a while, and...
to me, it's interesting. I like their story because he struggled a lot. He struggled a lot with whatever this band's identity was, and it took iteration after iteration, time after time, before he figured it out, and it was just a collection of people, essentially. Now, they're taking this and trying to be one of the biggest touring bands in the country.
Right. You're right. It was, what, 4, 5, 6 years he kept changing people around and then landed on this lineup, and before they knew it, they were... At Bonnaroo.
Yeah, at Bonnaroo.
2012, and they were there again in 13, we talked about that a little with them. They did a Talking Heads set.
Yeah, when you brought that up to me, I was stunned. Absolutely stunned. I would not have put the two bands, of all the bands that you could have sent Adele for all, would have imagined that Talking Heads would have been covered by Walk the Moon.
Yeah, well, they did it under the name Kaleidoscope Space Tribe.
Interesting.
On one of the smaller stages, and you can watch it. The whole video is on YouTube. I watched it.
Did you really?
It's really good.
Now, this is what I was wondering, because this is one of those bands is making their comeback, bringing another set to the farm. I wonder if we have somebody right now listening that saw any of those shows. Because when I saw the name pop up, I'm like, oh, this will be the first time they're at Bonnaroo.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God, no, they're not. They've been here like 3 other times, especially under a guise of a different name. So if you've seen them at Bonnaroo before, I'd love to bend your ear a couple of times.
Absolutely.
Because I saw the show when they came to town. I went to the venue, watched them a little bit, and it definitely seems as though it is built for outdoors. There's just certain acts that are built for outdoors, wide open spaces. This seems definitely like one of them.
That's what I was saying. I could sort of envision the whole crowd dancing thing while we were listening to that music.
Yeah, and when you start thinking about like a time, I like doing this too, is whenever you hear a song, we talked about this last season, you hear a song or you hear a band and you try to place them at the exact time of day, on the exact day, on the stage that you think they're going to be.
Right,
and this seems like a which stage, 4 o'clock in the afternoon thing.
You read my mind.
Did
That's exactly what I was.
All right.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk to Nick from Walk the Moon. And then after that, I'd like to talk about some of the announcements that came through the Bonnaroo Hemisphere shortly thereafter. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. And then we have a couple other guests, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we've got you've got some special guests today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing from them. I think they illustrate sort of the whole growth of festivals.
Interesting. Yeah, because you told me that you have some friends that you want to talk to that goes to festivals. They've been to Bonnaroo. They've done, it sounds to me like every, you know, East Coast festival that exists, but they're not the direct demo that most music festivals are after.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
No, but they also, if you're one of those people, maybe you're a little older, whatever, who think I think I'd like to try that, but yeah. I'm not sure. That's these guys.
Okay. Their names are what, by the way? I've heard Dave and...
Trevin.
Trevin. All right, we'll talk to those guys here in a second. But first, Walk the Moon's Nick.
How you doing?
I'm doing amazing. You're coming to Chattanooga soon. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Chattanooga, but you guys get to make maybe a debut?
Yeah. I believe it's the band's first show there. I came through once as a kid on a road trip with my dad to checking out some American history. My dad was a history buff and Civil War. He was just into that kind of stuff, and we were just driving through.
And we got a lot of Civil War stuff. In fact, Barry was in the Civil War. So
we're still going with the old man joke. All right.
You guys have a history with Bonnaroo. You guys were a natural conversation piece for us when we started setting up this season, mainly because I like you guys' journey through Bonnaroo. You guys start in 2006 and don't sign to a major label until 2011, and that's when it seems as though the shows just got bigger and bigger and bigger. But I want to start, what was 2006 to 2011 for you guys as some, road musicians?
Well, I started the band during college and went through, about 30 different band members, actually.
That many, huh? Maybe I was in Walk the Moon at one point.
yeah, you may have been. I don't even remember. But it wasn't until 2011 that we solidified this crew, and that was when Anna Sun was taking off, and we got signed, and Bonnaroo was one of the first big festival experiences we ever had.
How many times in those 5 years did you want to quit? Were you just done with it and it wasn't going to work anymore for you?
There was maybe one time where it was right after college, and was kind of down in the dumps about that, and most of the guys at the time wanted to go and, go back to school or go get other jobs or whatever. And it was kind of my choice at that moment to keep going or quit.
How did you eventually come to the group that you found?
Yeah. That was kind of the time period that really defined who Walk the Moon is, because, I just started diving into the Cincinnati music scene. I'd meet, band members at their own shows after they played a show, and I'd be like, hey, I've got a gig this weekend. You want to learn some music? And Walk the Moon kind of became this community, oriented project. And we'd throw parties, we'd throw theme parties and get, just get people in the community to get involved. And that's kind of what the Anna Sun music video was. It was just like, whoever we could find, we were literally pulling people in off the street to be a part of the music video.
Anytime.
And that's kind of like what set us off.
What was that like going 2006? You're running through 30 people or so, and then you put this group, and then all of a sudden you get signed, to play one of the bigger festivals in the country. I'm guessing that had to be a huge shot in the arm, but what was that transition?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was something special about this group of guys. They were really dedicated, and we had just a magic energy on stage, and Bonnaroo was kind of a defining moment for us. It was, we had missed our flight and flew in and were like arriving late to our own set at Bonnaroo. And it was, one of these little tents, but it was packed and everyone was sweaty and we were painting people's faces as we did at the time. And it was an awesome time. And I think we've carried that feeling with us, even today when we go to festivals now.
Yeah, they had you in 2011 on the Sonic stage, and listeners of this podcast will know exactly what that is. On a Sunday, around about 7:30, boy, you got bailed out. You got bailed out because if you're 2 hours early, hello, that face paint would have been running down your leg. but they didn't do you any favors. I mean, 2011 on the Sonic stage at 7:30, you were up against Ray LaMontagne, Florence and the Machine, and directly in between the Decemberists and My Morning Jacket. Whoa.
Yeah, that was actually the second set we played. We played two sets that day.
Did you really?
The Ware Cafe. That was the one where we rushed in from the airport. Played that set, rushed to the other side of the festival, played the Sonic stage.
I didn't know that.
Nice.
Yeah. And then we actually took a plane at 6 a.m. the next day, because I had promised a friend that we'd play his wedding. and we literally still got Bonnaroo, you know, Tennessee mud on us. As we're, and I'm supposed to MC the thing, so I'm like, hey, here's our bride and groom, and I'm
oh my god,
it's that glamorous rock and roll.
What a bizarre, what a bizarre life that would have been. I just had a career-defining moment at Bonnaroo in front of maybe the most eclectic crowd that I've had so far, and then I'm emceeing my buddy's wedding. Boy, what a shock to the system.
Yeah. They, you know, the guys stuck with me, and we played that show, and we haven't played a wedding since.
But you did go back in 2013 to Bonnaroo and did Walk the Moon set, but also a set under a different name, right? Did a Talking Heads tribute?
Yes,
thing?
Our alter ego.
Yeah, tell us about that.
It's a Talking Heads cover band called Kaleidoscope Space Tribe.
Yeah, very nice.
We just love Talking Heads, and they've been a huge influence on us. And we had the opportunity to play this side stage that year. And we thought it would be cool to just kind of do it as a secret and see who showed up. And it was awesome.
How did that, was that your idea or their idea or both?
I don't know. I think Talking Heads is just sort of an intersection point for all of us, that we all love that band.
No, I meant to do it at Bonnaroo. I don't imagine they just let, you know, say, hey, come do whatever you want. Here's 90 minutes.
I mean, they kind of did. They were like, hey, we have this second set for you, and we're like, well, we'd like to do something a little different with it, and they were into that.
Yeah, nice.
Are you fulfilling that tradition this year and doing two sets? Is that what I'm hearing?
If we did, I wouldn't tell you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, how about this? Because I'm very good at this. When's the last time you guys did that Talking Heads cover band? When's the last time that those guys got on stage?
The last time that we met up with Kaleidoscope Space Tribe, I think it was maybe 2015.
Okay.
In Cincinnati, we did it. We did a charity show.
Yeah. How about that? Looky there. Yeah. About time for the band to get back together. 5 years.
I think so. I think you might be right.
Well, what's crazy
he is
about,
a professional now.
What's crazy about that is because one of the bands that is always talked about as a definer that has not been to Bonnaroo yet is the Talking Heads. Now, they're not going to do it.
No.
He's not going to do that, but boy, that is the show for me that outside of Dolly Parton, you give me the Talking Heads and Dolly Parton, and I'm a happy man. I'm done. I'll tap out for the day.
Yeah, I've gotten a chance to see David Byrne a couple of times. He's, he's every bit as legendary as he thinks.
That new show is unbelievable. That new show is absolutely unbelievable. 2013, when you come back to Bonnaroo the second time, I'm going to give you a little history lesson. It's the 2013. You guys played on a Thursday, and Thursday we have talked about on the show time and time again is our favorite day across the entire schedule. And there's a reason, because it's the day for discovery. It's the day where everybody's fresh. The farm still looks good. We have a rule, by the way, if you ever listen to this. If you ever want to have the lovemaking happens on Thursday or Sunday, okay? Because you're freshly clean or you're totally dirty.
You don't care.
Yeah, it's one or the other. So on Thursday, let me go through the list of acts. This is going to blow your mind, Barry, that Walk the Moon played along with on Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday night, the day of discovery. Let me go down the list of 2013. Dive, 21 Pilots, Future Birds, Aerial Pink, Heim, Walk the Moon, Django Django, Purity Ring, Japandroids, Father John Misty, Alt-J, Alan Stone, Killer Mike, Capital Cities, Houndmouth.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
That's the entire SiriusXMU playlist. And they were all on Thursday night. That is some roster that you were a part of on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a testament to those people who have got Bonnaroo tickets this year. Get there early, because you're going to see, you know, you might see some artists that will go on to do great things.
And you guys who go from the Sonic stage, you go from the Cafe, then you go to the 11th line on Thursday on 2013, and now you're one of the top line artists of one of the biggest music festivals on the planet. Do you feel a difference between Bonnaroo than all the other festivals that you play?
Yeah, you know, it's one of the more rugged ones, which I really like. And I think it brings something out of people that's, I don't know, this sort of like rough human togetherness that we love, and that, you know, that feels like home to us.
Yeah, the bonding. That's what we talk about a lot on here. People are there. They're committed. There's a bond. They want to hear music. The band feels it, feeds off of it. You know, it goes both ways because of that whole camping thing.
I'm guessing the Sunday show that you guys did in 2011, you didn't stay. But 2013, you guys stayed a few days, right?
Yeah, we got to hang a couple days there. Man, it was a hot one.
Well, I have a request because this is what you guys do. If you guys stay Saturday night and do the Sunday thing for Bonnaroo, backstage we camp. Our camp is called Camp Nut Butter. You should come by and paint our face.
Love it.
Yeah, and then one of us will get married, and you can DJ another wedding. It'll be fun.
Recreate the whole thing.
Perfect.
One of the things we love talking about is what you guys are going through. That whole one of the things that Bonnaroo does is sort of once they find acts that they like, they love bringing them back on bigger stages as they grow. Do you guys make lists? Do you have wish lists of things to do, goals to meet, that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah, sure, like a bucket list or something like that.
There you go, sure.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And as soon as we cross one off, you know, something else goes on the list. You know, I hope someday to be headlining these festivals.
Right.
And would love to, you know, we've spent a lot of time overseas as well, and it's really, really fun to play in Europe and over in Asia. And it would be a dream to make it on top of some of those lineups as well.
Now, Nick, what is the difference for you between a show that you do, say, in Chattanooga when you're at a local club of 1,500 and on a tent stage at Insert Music Festival here? How does it change for you?
In a lot of ways, it doesn't change at all. And I think that's really important that we just – a festival is a place where people discover new music. So it's like our job to just show exactly who we are. But at the same time, it's very different when we're playing to sort of a captive audience of our own people versus thousands of people that may not know who we are. So, you know, it changes, especially – my job as a frontman, you know, how to get people engaged and playing along.
I haven't thought about it in that way, but that makes sense. If you've got 1,500 people at like the Signal that you're going to have, they've bought a ticket to see Walk the Moon at a festival, any of them, their potential half of the crowd, whatever, could be somebody who's never seen you. Do you try to pick out one or the other or both? I mean, I understand it doesn't change because you're trying to put on the best show that you can no matter what. But, I mean, like if you're looking out and seeing, hey, there's a bunch of people that don't know the words, does that change maybe even the set list or the focus at all? You know, you're trying to get new fans versus, hey, all 1,500 of those people know every word.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it kind of lights a fire under our ass for – yeah. You know, for just fighting for our lives a little bit, like the old days.
You can't
sleep. You can't phone that in at all.
Mm. You know? It made me think. We talked to Paul Janaway last year of St. Paul and the Broken Bones, and they did like three or four shows with the Rolling Stones, and he was straight up told, and it was really kind of a funny story. He was told there's nobody out there here to see you. And it made him bow up, and he said, "By God, I'm going to get him." I guess that's what I have in mind is, you know, he knew straight away.
Well, yeah, it goes to what is as for you as an artist, what's more rewarding, super serving a list of people that are your fans or turning somebody over that's never known you or heard you or seen you before?
Yeah, I think there's nothing that compares to like playing to an audience that is kind of like unsure at the beginning of the set, and by the end they're going crazy. That's an awesome feeling.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I would think looking out and having everybody singing every word, especially like an obscure song, would be a pretty cool thing.
All right. By the way, you're playing on Saturday. Do you have anybody Sunday? I'm sorry. You have any people on Sunday that you're dying to see? Do you got a list already made, or have you not spent any time with the lineup yet?
I haven't spent much time with it. We've been tunnel vision on this tour right now. But no
what? You've got something to do other than talk about Bonnaroo?
Yeah. We just put out some new music. We got a new music video out. We've been working on new tunes to release. So, but rest assured, I'll have a plan by the time I get there.
And I hope you share it with us when the time comes. You get closer to Bonnaroo. Let's talk again. I hope, because we really like you guys around here, and we wish you all the success in the world, buddy.
Hey, thank you very much.
Nick from Walk the Moon on the What Podcast, a podcast for Bonnarooians by Bonnarooians. Barry Corder, of course, Brad Steiner from Chattanooga's Hits 96, Chattanooga Times View Press, Barry Quarters Home. Now, we have a pair of tickets to Bonnaroo with camping passes. And, of course, we did like we did last year. If you want to drop us a comment, thewhatpodcast.com. You just scroll down to the bottom, say contact us. Drop us a comment, something you like, something you're excited about this year. We'd love to hear it. We've gotten a ton of comments over the past couple of days. I'd like to read a couple, highlight a few of them, and possibly get in for Bonnaroo tickets just by commenting at thewhatpodcast.com. So let's start from Dortha. Is that really your name, Dortha? That's a fantastic name. I've never heard that name before in my life. Just listened to your first episode of the year. Had the exact same feeling you did about Hippocampus. Now I'm going to spend a week with their catalog on repeat. Thanks for the tip. There is not a band we've gotten more collective what's wrong with you than Hippocampus over the last week and a half, huh?
Right, where you been?
Yeah, somebody, I think you said, somebody's like, how did you guys not know this? Well, I would suggest that if we came on here and pretended that we knew everything about everything, we would be insufferable.
Even more. Even more,
even more
boorish than we already are.
We
can't know everything.
I already get beaten up by my friends enough about barreling through knowing everything. If I tried to purport that I knew half of this stuff, I'd be
crazy. We all know those guys, though, right? You mention a band, and they're like, oh, yeah, I've known those guys.
Oh, my good buddies. Oh, yeah.
I've been in those guys for a long time.
Oh, I've been
time.
There since day one. They've got one album, dude. Oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Adam Swanson. Adam says, I love you guys. I love that you guys started this podcast. I figured out about you guys just before the lineup came out, and so happy to get to listen to Bonnaroo things throughout the time until we're all back on the farm. I keep recommending my friends to listen to you guys. Keep up the good work. Appreciate that, Adam. And of course, if you want to rate and review us, that would be nice as well. It helps all of your other friends find us pretty easily in your app store. I think that one of the things that caught my attention this past week, there's a lot of announcements that came out. We missed one that was really big. They're moving some of the VIP area campers. I don't know where they're moving them, but they're opening that area up to GA folk and creating a whole new plaza right there in the former VIP camping.
Oh, nice. So right by the gate, the arch.
Yeah, if you're looking at the arch, it's around the corner to the left. It's a new plaza. They're adding all kinds of different camping inside of those treed areas, those shaded areas, that's money. And I don't know, again, we've talked about this before, there's no rhyme or reason how you get in there, but boy, that's got to be some of the most valuable real estate out there.
Yeah, they're calling that Where in the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the Woods will transform the forest into an unforgettable, magical landscape.
You got to feel like you really lucked out if you get plopped down right there.
Absolutely.
There's sometimes where, like, I got to imagine there are those feelings that you have that, yes, you're excited to be a Bonnaroo, and yes, you don't really care where, who, what, when, why, so long as you're around your friends or you feel like you got a good spot. If you get plopped down in like Plaza 2, you're like, oh, this is good. I'm right next to... What if you're in the back 40? What if you're we're here, but I don't feel here.
You know, it doesn't matter, or no one can seem to figure out the rhyme or reason of when to get there, where you will be parked.
Right.
Like, I know a kid who got there. He was pretty much first in line. Guess where they put him?
That's got to be just a deflating feeling,
man.
He
was almost closer from here. From where we are right now.
I could have given him a prime parking space at my house if he needed to.
Unbelievable. Yeah, they announced all the other plazas. The Whiskey Jam at the Villa.
Sure.
Brooklyn's House of Yes and Little Cinema in Plaza 3. The Grove, of course, in 7.
This is really coming.
The Boogaloo of Wonder.
This is really coming together. The plazas, whenever they announce the plazas, this feels like a new thing. It feels like a new step.
Right.
It feels like an evolution to exactly what we've been hearing from them for 2 years.
Paramore is going to be or Hayley Williams of Paramore is going to be doing the Sanctuary of Self-Love.
Yeah, by the way, Hayley Williams came out on stage, I guess Friday night or Saturday night with Kacey Musgraves.
Oh, nice.
In that Nashville show.
Yeah, nice.
So, ding. Nice. Does the light go off?
Yeah, wow.
Does the light go off when Hayley Williams puts together this thing out in the plaza? She might just have some friends pop in.
That'd be very cool.
That would be amazing, right?
You know, we keep talking about these experiences, but somebody's going to win a chance to have a makeover, a style makeover with Hayley Williams being part of doing the makeover.
I'll tell you right now, if the only person I want to enter and win is you, I want Hayley Williams to transform you.
That would
boy,
be great,
oh boy.
Wouldn't it? But we keep talking about these experiences, and it's interesting. I've had more conversations about it, not just Bonnaroo related, but other festivals and just the whole how that industry has changed. It has to be more about the band, and it has to be more about the lineup
mm-hmm.
and even the music.
Yeah. And the plazas in full force, they sound great. And I love the idea of creating a personality through an artist with a plaza. I love what they did with Cage the Elephant last year. I love the connection part of it. You know, a secret show with Cage the Elephant. You got to think that this is going to be something that just keeps continuing.
Right.
Again, Casey Musgraves and Hayley Williams said, girls just want to have fun. I can't not see how that doesn't happen in the plaza.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's got to be some sort of Bonnaroo tune-up.
And you started to mention characteristics of the festivals. You asked that question of Trevin and David,
yeah.
And I thought it was a really good question, and they were the right guys to ask.
Yeah.
Festivals, good ones, have a personality.
Right. They have a brand identity.
Exactly.
I like that idea, though, too, personality. It's got a heartbeat of its own, a soul of its own. Yeah, and speaking of the Trevin and David, these guys came in. Trevin's on the phone, and David came in. These are some people that Barry has connected with in years past. Not necessarily your typical Bonnaroo goer, not typically your festival goer. These guys are a tad out of the demo. They're more Barry Corder than they are the 25-year-olds that go to hang out.
And that's what made me want to have them. Trevin, I know from our kids played soccer together, so I know him a little better than casually. Trevin reached out to me in 2014. He was going to go to Firefly.
Yeah.
And he wanted some camping tips. The next year, both of them went.
Really?
And then in 2017, I think they both went to Bonnaroo with several other people. And they've, as you guys will hear, they've gone to a bunch of other festivals. They've become festival goers. Mm-hmm. They do their research. They don't mind going by themselves.
Yeah.
Which I found very interesting.
Well, they're interesting guys, and it's an interesting take, and it's something that we want to do each and every episode this season on the What Podcast. Give you a taste of your fellow Bonnaroovian, your fellow festival goer. Let's talk to David and Trevin on the What Podcast. Hey, is this Tevin?
Trevin. Oh, my God.
Man.
What a start.
Hey, Trevin.
You know, we have a long-running issue with Barry Corder, who... Oftentimes at Camp Nut Butter, we will all be sitting around and saying hilarious commentary, brilliant insight, and then Barry will steal it from us and then put it into his column. The running gag has always been, Barry, just get our names right. We don't care if you steal our content, just get our names right.
Yeah.
How many times have you gotten my wife's name correct in your articles?
Correct?
Yes.
Probably once. And that would be the two corrections that I had to run.
Adam, how many times did you actually put her name in there? First, it started as Holly.
I called her Steiner. She doesn't take your last name.
No, thank God.
I called her Steiner. Uh-huh. And then I called her Holly.
Trevin, nice to meet you. I'm Bard. That's Larry.
Yeah. Hi, Trevin. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no kidding.
No problem.
We're up and going. So
yeah.
The reason I wanted to have, I have David Champion. And Trevin Bernarding, who are our Bonnaroo guests, because you guys, I actually included you in stories that I did in 2017. That was your first Bonnaroo.
It was. I think actually both of us the first time.
Both time. You were with a bunch of other guys.
David, did he say your name is Daryl? David or Daryl?
Dennis. Yeah. So that's what it's going to be from here on out.
Okay, good.
But was that your first festival?
No,
as well?
The first one, actually, I went with Trevin. We went to Firefly up in, Trevin, was it 2015?
Hmm. Yeah, 2015.
Okay.
My first festival was Firefly 2014.
Okay. So that's why I wanted to get you two guys, is because you do a lot of other festivals pretty much instead of now. You did Bonnaroo once?
Once.
Well, yep.
And so I just thought it would be kind of interesting to...
What years? Did you guys go together?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Trevin and I think have been to most festivals together.
Yeah.
I did Lollapalooza by myself. And actually, the same year we did Bonnaroo. I did.
Yeah.
That was my festival year that summer.
That was your festival year. You just bounced all of them.
Also that same.
Wow. Too, no kidding.
David went to Birmingham with us or not. I can't remember.
I did. To Sloss Fest.
Yeah.
Sloss Fest. Yeah. I went to Sloss Fest as well.
Yeah. You've hit a lot of the same territory in which I've done. The first thing that I wonder is when you start lining up them, like Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo, Firefly. Do you guys ever do hangout? Do you guys shirtless bros too? You do the hangout thing?
I think we've outaged ourselves for there.
Yeah, we decide we're too old for hangout.
And then you do Sloss Fest. When you put those two together, why Bonnaroo just once and Firefly twice?
And actually, it's going to be a third time we're going this
summer
too.
So, yeah.
I've been to Firefly four times.
Whoa, no kidding. Okay. All right. So why Bonnaroo once and Firefly four times?
The first time I went in 2014, and David didn't go to that one with me, but it was really because of the lineup. was incredible. But also the weather. I mean, Dover in June is like 74 degrees, not buggy. And that's honestly the reason why I at that time I never gone to Bonnaroo. It's just the heat. So, but the lineup in 2014 was crazy good. I thought it was a good time to try it. And I talked to another friend into going, Andy Sawyer, who Barry knows. Mm-hmm. And we went with our two boys, and that's how it started.
How old are the kids?
They are now juniors in college.
Wow, okay.
At the time they were 16.
Early 50s, right? Both right, of yeah. you?
That's yeah. exactly my next yeah. question. Is yeah. the reason why, like, if I could have written down, I wish I had written down, the reasons why you chose Firefly over Bonnaroo, I was going to guess weather and weather. Because
yeah. that was really the reason. Yeah,
yeah, because I mean, it's the Mid-Atlantic. Of course, it's going to be a lot different than, you know, Tennessee in the summer. But boy, you hit a certain age demographic when it comes to these festivals, and you're looking for a certain type of festival to survive in. It's going to be a lot different than your 16-year-old kids. Oh, your 16 to 25-year-old kids, right. They don't care about Tennessee in the summer. But you guys, a lot like me, you know, I'm struggling here. I'd like to take a nap.
And for sure, to be honest with you, Bonnaroo, we actually rented an RV. So we did. We were actually RV camping.
Good for you.
Yeah. So that was the. Because Trevor will tell you a story. When my first, when at Firefly, it poured down rain the first night we were there, and they almost lost me. I was done. I'm not a camper.
Yeah.
And that tested every part of my being to stay out there in the pouring down rain in a tent.
Trevor, you said 2014 was. Were you guys festival goers before? I mean, they're kind of new things, but I'm not sure. I know you guys, but I don't know you real, real well, your past. I'm not sure that I would have pegged you like me. I wouldn't have pegged me either as festival goers, campers, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that kind of.
No, not at all. It was just one of those things. I've always been a music person, you know, going to concerts and all that kind of thing. I was in Athens, Georgia in the 80s. And how could you not love bands, you know, right. coming out of that scene? And but no, that was my first festival, and it was really, again, the lineup. You know, they had Foo Fighters, Outkast, Imagine Dragons, Arctic Monkeys, Weezer, the Giant. I mean, it was an incredible lineup.
What was that first impression that you had when you walked into a festival, aside from like seeing a show at like the Roxy or the Tabernacle?
I mean, it's really more the first impression was, you know, in line in the cars at 5 o'clock in the morning coming into the campsite. I mean, it was just crazy to me. How's this mass chaos going to work? But then walking to the grounds themselves, it was so kind of liberating. It was just the fun of a festival it can't be duplicated walking into a venue.
So Firefly was your first too?
Yes.
And then you did Bonnaroo how many years after that?
2 years later.
Okay, so once you got in, did things start changing? When you guys started, did you start seeing shows differently? But did you go back to rooms and think of things completely differently after you went to a festival?
I like the festivals better.
Me too.
Yeah, I really do. I think it just, as like Trevin said, it's liberating. It's a vacation to me. It's a fun vacation that starts early in the morning and goes late at night. And yeah, I just enjoy it.
I mean, if you talk about like the level of work you got to put in, Firefly is a simple one because they give you a lot of shade. Like you said, Trevin, there's the weather is always good. Location's a little bit more difficult to get to, but the amenities work and they're very easy on the palate for guys like us who might be a little bit harder to please.
Pampered.
Yeah, pampered. Yeah.
Soft.
I wasn't going to say that about Daryl. But do you think that you were properly programmed and ready for Bonnaroo after the festival experience that you had before that?
Yes, I knew.
Really?
I pretty much, from Firefly to Bonnaroo. Yeah, I think because then I knew what I liked, what I didn't like. But I didn't really have any idea what a festival was going to be like. I didn't realize how somewhat chaotic between running from one stage to another. And then also the... I thought, I'll just go and see all these bands that I want to in this order, and I'll be okay. And then you realize, I got distracted. I'm going to go over to listen to these guys.
Yeah.
I totally missed the band I was going to see in the first place. But that's okay, because I've learned. I find key bands I definitely want to see, but then I'll be kind of open-minded for some of the other stuff.
Trevin, Trevin, help me here. I don't want to pick on David, but I think it's worth pointing out. I'm correct, right, that David is a little bit anal.
Oh my goodness!
When it comes to planning, right? I mean,
yeah,
David
you
is
have
a
no
plan.
Idea. David, did you bring your list? You should have brought your list that you put out for our festivals.
Not right now.
That's why I wanted to have these guys on, because our daughters played soccer together is how we met. And I've heard some of David's planning for out-of-town trips, and it's book-like.
To the end, I would give out and distribute things to every parent of exactly the hotel, the schedule, everything, restaurants to eat at.
I
would do all
that. I bring that up not to tease you, but also that idea of walking into a festival and it being liberating and just letting go seems so counter.
Within reason. I think it's within reason.
You'll have your book and your list, right. I assume. Okay.
Yeah. Boy, but boy, that is a great question, though, and I think that you stumbled into it for a second. David, you had to completely change a part of you to maybe survive in this atmosphere and in this world, right? I'm sure there is and not everybody's like you. Me and Barry, not list guys.
No.
We are a total mess. But there is parts of me that absolutely have to change to make this work. There's parts of Barry that absolutely have to change to make this work. Yours is probably a little anal retentiveness, right? Trevin, do you have a piece of you that absolutely had to change, or that you were happy that changed after engulfing yourself in this entire process?
That's a good question. So it's half to change. I think main thing, from a music perspective, it opened my eyes that just because something is EDM, or if it's rock, rap, or whatever genre I would never think I would listen to, that I change, you know, because I'd walk into a band who I think this is going to be terrible, and it's great. Sometimes it happens the opposite, but for the most part, it's really, you know, it's changed my outlook on music itself, just being able to listen to different types of music.
Absolutely. For me, it's the whole nighttime thing. I'm a fairly creature of habit. I have a routine. I don't camp. I don't sleep in a tent or on a mattress any other time of the year.
Sure.
And I also don't roll out of bed at 2 a.m. to go see a band or turn the TV, you know, or whatever. But there, you got to just let it go. And for us, that camping festival is part of why I think I like it maybe more than some of the city ones, because it is 24 hours. You're there. There's nothing else to do. Go see the music.
Yeah, I got to imagine, as somebody who really likes lists, city festivals might do you pretty well then.
Yeah, this is like Lollapalooza type thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I've already got my hotel book room for August. Yeah,
I know I've exactly got somewhere to go.
At least I've got that part planned out.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I love this idea of, like, not only does it require you to change a major piece of you, but you also, because you've changed it and lived in it and had to experience it, it made you, I mean, probably a better rounded person in the real world. Contrary to popular belief, I'm a lot like that, David. I'm pretty anal retentive when it comes to, like, doing things the way that I want to do them, how I want to do them. My camp guys know I've got a certain specific routine in the morning that I will not adjust. I'm not adjusting it for anybody or any festival. But even with that stuff, I've had to shake it out and let go of so much to enjoy this experience. And it took a good 5-6 years of doing this before I finally shook it out. And boy, has it paid off in spades in my real life. In actual life, and 360 other days of my life, the 5 days that taught me how to, like, let go at Bonnaroo is, I think, the reason why I'm probably a better person now than I was before.
I feel like I'm on Oprah.
Okay. Are you giving me a car?
That's pretty touching.
Are you giving me a car?
That's his. I know you go to some of these together. Do you go by yourselves to any of them?
Like I said, I went to Lollapalooza. My son was with me. We have totally different style of music. He was mostly rap and Muse and that sort of thing. And I was seeing Blink 182. That's who I wanted to see.
Wow, that just really surprised me.
Yeah. So, but I don't mind. I don't mind being by myself in that sort of situation. I make friends. I mean,
you're never by yourself.
No, at all.
They're not by yourself.
I want to ask you both, Trevin. When do you try to talk other friends into going to these things? And if so, what do you tell them? How do you describe the festival experience?
Yeah, I always try to talk people into going. That's how, you know, David. I can't remember exact particulars, but I'm pretty sure we kind of talked you into going. In 2015, I talked to Andy Sawyer into going with me in 2014. To me, it's also, as I mentioned, I probably said this in an article that you wrote, Barry, it's also getting friends together, family together, and just having a good time. Me and David do trips together all the time, not just festivals. But to me, the festival, I always have those memories more than the others. And I also tell them it's not as bad as you think. It's like, I learned from people like you, Barry, all of, you know, like why Gatorade bottles are important to bring, things like that.
Yeah, you need that wide mouth Gatorade bottle in the tent at night.
I dated her once, by the way.
And I'm not, you know, a lot of my friends think I'm crazy. They think that's just insane.
Part of the reason Trevin and I and Andy went to go to a lot of these together is that it kind of evolved from our father-son trips that we used to take to a lake with our boat every summer. Was sort of when they were about eight. Is that when we started it?
Yeah, eight.
Kind of evolved after about 10 years. They were old enough, and I think that's what started. So that's why we went to Firefly together. We went to Bonnaroo together. So we would spend some time with them. So it was sort of father-son bonding.
I never thought about the millennial bond. Experience. Mm-hmm.
And it was fun.
Yeah, that whole Trevin thing about people are surprised or they think it's something. We've had that conversation many, many times in our camp as we're sitting there in our lawn chairs on carpet under a tent with our Bloody Mary tent next to us.
Yeah. We were never invited to, right, Trevin?
It's not, and it's whatever you make it.
What's going to bring you back? What's going to bring you guys back to the farm?
Well, I actually blocked off with my work schedule. I have Bonnaroo that week. Every year I blocked it out again.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things. The lineup was just not grabbing me, mm-hmm. and Firefly was available, and I blocked that. And I just kind of waited to see. But when I did my research now, there's a lot of crossover. There are a lot of same bands playing both this year.
I find that to be so interesting because I always thought that the lineup-based consumer was the younger ones. I thought the younger kids, especially under the 25s, were lineup-based. But you guys are middle-aged white men, but making your decisions based on a lineup, I didn't think that that was the case.
Well, I may bail out on Lollapalooza unless it just kind of, if there's so many bands that are seeing at Firefly, I probably won't go to Lollapalooza.
Yeah, interesting. Are you going to be lineup-based if you make your decision on Bonnaroo, Trevin?
Yeah, I was about to say, that's totally my decision going forward for Bonnaroo is I'm lineup. I will go to Firefly every year. Yeah, you know, just for me, going back to the weather, the weather's going to be a lot better. I'm not going to, you know, it's more pleasant. It's easy to get around. It's very similar to Bonnaroo, the layout of the stages. But I'm going to pick Firefly.
It's also only about 2 hours away, right, Trevin?
Well, now it's just kind of coincidence.
Yeah, where are you, by the way? Where are you?
I'm in Central PA now, Pennsylvania.
So just moved
here last year.
When you guys go to all these festivals, right, do you feel, you feel weather, you feel lineup. Do you guys feel a culture?
At the other ones or?
At any of them.
More Bonnaroo, I would think.
Yeah, Bonnaroo is definitely unique, the culture there.
No doubt about it. It's more friendly, I think.
It's friendlier, it's more hippie, more, I guess from, it used to be, from understanding, more of a jam fest type place, and that kind of carries over to the culture.
But when making your decision, culture doesn't matter to you?
No.
Not to me. Yeah. Are you guys seeing a lineup and seeing people that you have never seen that you really wanted to see, or are you seeing it from a place where you are discovering bands that you may not have known before?
We did a whole half episode on the whole repeat. You know, is it worth seeing the same bands over and over? Do you not want to see them again, kind of thing? So,
well, I can tell you, I would never have probably bought tickets to see Snoop Dogg, mm-hmm. and that was a great show.
Yeah.
I saw him, thought that was fantastic.
Sure.
Eminem last year.
Eminem was an incredible show.
It was fantastic. Again, I don't know if I would have spent money and gone out, but it was a great atmosphere. I really, really enjoyed that.
How about Kendrick Lamar, David?
No, not a fan. I tried. Trevin dragged me down there. I tried. It was amazing hearing everybody singing word for word the songs, and I'm going, I don't know these.
Yeah.
It was not on my list of research before he went, though.
You know, looking at you, I'm shocked.
Yeah, there you go.
What about you, Trevin? Are you a Discovery guy? Are you looking at lineups based on things that you have always wanted to see or are wanting to see in that moment?
Yeah, I've really turned into more of a Discovery person now. It's just more about going and experiencing new music for me. Of course, I want to see the headliners. I mean, I was on the rail for Paul McCartney at Firefly. I mean, how can you? That was incredible. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, it's more about for me now seeing the newer bands I never heard of, just kind of happen upon.
Now, are you guys new music fans? Do you guys actively look for, you consume new product constantly? Or are you guys, because I say this because a couple episodes ago, I mentioned to Barry, I read this article where once you hit the age of 30, your consumption of new products goes drastically down, something like 70-80%, and you mostly get comfortable in things you already know and already listen to. I'm the complete opposite. The last thing I want to do is listen to something I've already heard. I wonder, like, when you guys When you guys lived your regular lives, are you consuming new products? Or are you going back to the music that you have already known and listened to forever?
I mean, I'm always Alt Nation is one of, is the station that my car radio stays on almost the entire time. So I would tell you there was probably a period of time where I was just complacent with most regular music that I had grown up with. But now I'm always trying to find new stuff.
Right. And
I love Alt Nation.
I wonder if that changed right around when festivals got into your life.
And I think you're right, because part of it was before where I went to Firefly was getting on, downloading all the music that I knew I was going to, bands I'd never heard of, and trying to find them and listen to them for the first time and going, yeah, this is good.
Right.
I mean, I still like my hard rock. I still like my 80s music, that sort of thing. But Alt Nation is actually what it primarily is on now. So,
same with you, Travin.
Yeah, exactly same. I can, being a testament to David, it's he did change once he went to Firefly with us. I mean, his music is, we could do a whole podcast on his iPod, but it's more about, I'm listening to Alt Nation. I listen to the college station on Sirius.
XMU.
Chris
Muckley does a great
Spotify.
Job.
I don't listen to radio ever, unless you count Sirius as radio, I guess. Yeah, but if I'm buying music, I'm buying newer bands. I can't wait till when Arctic Monkeys drop their album. I bought it.
You like that new Arctic Monkeys album? You like that?
Not as much as the old stuff.
Yeah.
Arctic Monkeys, I saw them in 2014 at Firefly, and I was also on the rail for them. It was, this is the greatest band ever.
The reason I ask is mainly because I almost get pissed off when I see something that I don't know. Like, it has angered me.
Hippocampus.
Yes, it's angered me for a week and a half that Hippocampus has gone past me. And I'll be completely honest. I was livid the day that I saw Beck. I was so pissed. I was so mad. I watched that show and I was just soured and angry for an hour watching Beck at Music Midtown 3 years ago. Madder than I've ever been. Loved the show, but I was mad because every time Beck had shown up at a festival, I said, I'll pass on that.
You passed on Beck. Holy
so,
cow.
I know, exactly. I said the same thing as soon as I saw the show. What have I been doing?
We did a whole show last year, remember, about do-overs, part of a show. Yeah, there are many of those that I did walk-bys that, I'd like to have Beastie Boys. I mean, I can name a handful of them. Shows that I just not passed on.
I went to Outkast by myself in 2015. No one would go with me. I couldn't believe it. What a show that was.
What were they doing? What was everyone else in your camp doing?
Right.
They were playing cards at the campsite.
No. Oh, yeah. Can't get that one every day, can you? Boy.
I'm not kidding. I went by myself to Outkast. Yeah. David didn't go there. I guess it was 2014.
Yeah, I'm sure Outkast comes by your garage when your wife's gone all the time. I'm sure they're all the time.
It happens. You can't see all of them.
Well, hey, thank you so much, Trevin, for being a part of our little slice of Bonnaroo and festival life. David, we appreciate you guys coming by. And hopefully we can bring you back both to the farm. I'd love to talk to somebody who's been there just 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and how different it is today.
Yeah.
It's so much different.
The community, the culture, the things they do, and the experiences, Trevin. Brad and I have, we based almost 2 years of podcasts on, for us 3 years ago, we would have not ever gone to general admission camping, and now we can't wait to go back.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about rethinking where the camp goes. I don't want to.
I like those trees.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just. I know you're just kidding. I'm just lying.
All right.
Well, there's one highlight. Probably the one thing, if you don't mind, I'll end on it. About Bonnaroo was Trevin and I had stayed up late and gone to the Ed Helms.
The Super Jams thing.
Absolutely not really necessarily my kind of music. Absolutely enjoyed that show tremendously. Mm-hmm. And probably the highlight of it was when this young man, Trevin, I don't know if you remember this, the young man in front of us turned around and looked at us like, holy cow, you guys are old. What are you doing here? And I think he may even asked how old we are. And then he said, holy cow, I want to be just like you when I'm your age. And I went, that wins.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
Nice.
Let me be honest with you. I feel like I get all the stares in the world at Bonnaroo, not because of my hair, but because I'm with the oldest person at Bonnaroo, with Barry Corder.
It's funny, Trevin, listening to you. I went to see EDM the first year they had the other stage, me and Mike Dewar, who's about my age, and Denson. And we're standing in the back, and the kids in their furry costumes and their bunny outfits are looking at us. And for a half a second, I'm thinking, oh, they think we're pretty cool. And then I looked at Mike, and I said, they think we're narcs.
Yeah.
I know why they're looking at us.
There's some other announcements came through the pipe this week, and most of it has to do with you had the other stage lineup announced, which I've got a serious question to ask about the other stage lineup. Again, as I said earlier today, we said we don't pretend to know every band, all the bands, and there's a lot that we miss. Even me, a consumption junkie, I get really upset when I miss something that I probably shouldn't have missed, and one of those being like Hippocampus. Right. I've been listening to it for a week and a half now, right, ever since our last show. I've made no bones about it. I'm not an EDM guy. I don't follow this world. I don't even travel down the same roads. So right, you're going to have to tell me, somebody who's much more experienced with this than I, you're going to have to tell me if this lineup is good. You're going to have to tell me who I need to see on the other, because I don't remember a time that I found myself there last year, and I don't remember being there the year before.
I know I went both years.
Okay.
Not for long, to be honest. I like it, but to me, it's like some other music. I like it for a couple of songs.
Right.
It's not something I'm going to spend hours listening to.
Sure.
I like the visual aspect of it. I mean, just watch, people watch. It's great people watching.
Absolutely.
Visually, it's a bunch of flashing lights, and in many cases, it's, if it's a DJ, it's a guy standing at a table, basically. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot,
yeah,
not a lot there. But the crowd gets pretty crazy, and that's a lot of
See,
fun.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Because the crowd is so into it, and there's so many of them, there's got to be something there.
Yeah,
there's something there.
Sure, sure. I don't expect to like everything. I don't think anybody likes everything.
And here's the reason I ask, is because I didn't know, when I was at ACL Fest this past year, I didn't know who Justice was. I'd never heard of them. But these guys apparently are massive, right, and they're not going to be touring anymore, is one of the final shows that they were ever going to do.
Right.
And I didn't know what to expect, and I walked into an EDM show, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It's fun.
Yeah,
just so, kind of let yourself go. And,
sure.
Well, that's it. Just let yourself go.
And there's definitely some that are better than others. Like, for instance, I mentioned Grizz last week and stumbling upon how artful some of his stuff was. And it wasn't just a lot of junk.
I like Girl Talk for that reason, too.
Right.
Takes a lot of, it's fun to listen to and pull out the things that are familiar to you.
Right, because there's just this massive amount of creativity
right,
that's needed on the producer's part, on the DJ's part, to make all of this work. Right. I do love that.
And he hides a lot of, as you like to call them, Easter eggs. You know, yeah, I find myself listening and smiling because I see what he did there. You know, I see where he pulled that from.
Right.
And some of his actually has a theme throughout. Dare yeah, I say?
That's pretty interesting. I guess I'm not I don't stick around enough to actually know that.
Yeah, it's not a heavy thing often, and I'm not an expert, but I just know some of the tracks that I've heard and I like. Okay, I get sort of where he's going with this. Our friend Mike Dewar, who's one of our campmates, says we sat and watched the EDM tent the first year.
Yeah.
His one question was, is there a beginning, a middle, and an end to any of these songs?
That's a great question.
It's a great question. Because no. And then when you think about it that way, it's like, well, wow, what is the point there?
And then there's the other announcement that came down. I don't know if you're lucky enough to have one of your cities selected, but the Bonnaroo folks decided to reach out to some of their best markets and their highest selling markets and do some sort of Ready to Rue events. I don't know if you've been to any of the Ready to Rue events, but me being in radio, we've organized some of these in years past. They didn't necessarily do them last year. We sort of did our own as a radio station in Chattanooga. We sort of did our own 2 years ago. Well, they're back now and they've got a little bit more of a focus. In years past, it was just sort of, hey, Brad, go do a Bonnaroo event. Figure it out, and we'll promote it for you.
Right.
And I was like, all right, I'll do that. But this year, it's a lot more focused. They're going to have the Rue Van. Now, I'm not going to call it the Rue Bus.
Let's don't.
Because it is not the Rue Bus.
It's not the Rue Bus.
I don't know what they're bringing, but somebody's driving a Bonnaroo vehicle through a bunch of towns, one of which is Chattanooga on April 1st that my station is involved in and putting on. But there are so many others. 14 different cities.
Yeah, you want me to go through them
sure,
real quick?
Sure, let's do it. Yeah. Atlanta. Hopefully, I hope to God, your city has been selected.
Atlanta, Chicago, Nashville, Tampa, Charlotte, Orlando, Birmingham, Indianapolis, Chattanooga, Columbus, Washington, D.C., Jacksonville, Knoxville, and Louisville.
I would just like to say, as an aside, Those are some major cities.
Yeah,
and then you throw in Chattanooga,
us.
Chattanooga, yeah, Knoxville. There. I'm pretty happy about that because
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, as a station, I mean, we were on with Bonnaroo since the beginning, the very first day. They keep coming back and know that Chattanooga is good to them. Is there a Nashville date in there at all? Knoxville and Chattanooga?
I don't see it. Yeah, there it is. Third one down.
Okay. All right. Good.
Actually, a couple weeks from now.
All right. Good. It all starts when? When does it?
They do, like you said, it's a little more than just show up and come get a sticker or something. Right. They have, I think.
They're going to do trivia. They're going to do some games. We're doing it ours at a local arcade place.
Yeah.
But around the country, from what I understand, they're going to do trivia, they're going to give away tickets, they're going to give you discounts on tickets when you buy them on site. It's sort of like a walking, talking podcast. It's sort of your opportunity to get around some Bonnaroovians right. and just chit-chat about the lineup and talk amongst yourselves. And what I'd love to do is, even if you want to come to the Chattanooga event, we'll be there. But if you go to any of the other Ready to Roo events, hit us up. Let me know how it goes. I'd love to talk to you about how your event works out and the other Bonnaroovians that you talk to. And if you don't mind, maybe tell them about us, and we can share the love, and we can just make the world a little bit bigger.
It's a great idea. I'd love to know how these go. The first one, Atlanta, March 18th.
Wow, March
18th. Actually, it looks like really soon. They must have more than one van, because it looks like there are five of them. Atlanta, Chicago, Nashville, Tampa, and Charlotte are all the same dates.
Really? I didn't even notice that. I do know that they're going to be doing days of service in and around those dates, where they try to go back, get to communities and give back in certain ways. They're still working out some of those details, but they're definitely doing some sort of community-based stuff outside of just showing up, drinking some beer, and giving away some tickets.
Yeah. In fact, the same weekend that they're here, I assume it's a weekend, they're in Columbus.
Nice.
Ohio. So.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Thank you so much for joining us this week on the What Podcast. Next week, we bring back an old favorite, Bonnaroo First Timers. Bonnaroo First Timers next week, starring some kids that I've actually grown to become really good friends with. I love these guys, AJR, and maybe even another surprise special guest. Hit us up, thewhatpodcast.com or the what_podcast on Twitter. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, 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 hey. How y'all feeling?
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.